We are in the middle of a series called The Gospel Truth, and we're looking at what is the gospel. So many people think the gospel is a prayer that you pray or a ticket to heaven when you die, but there's so much more to what the gospel is about, because fundamentally the gospel is the beach, and there's nothing like the beach. It's not quite what we were looking for. We'll keep going for a second. Maybe Kyle can help us out here. This is not Kyle's fault. He'll blame Apple. Did it go to sleep or what?
No, it's just not
displaying the. Huh. Well, yeah. Well, we'll have a good time here. As you gaze at the beach, which is actually a nice thing, I'm a big fan of the beach. We're going through this series about the gospel, and we're saying that the gospel, fundamentally, in three words, the gospel is Jesus is Lord. That's good news. That's really, really good news. And a lot of people don't realize it's good news, but it's really the greatest news of all, that Jesus is on the throne and that he is Lord. And if you want to boil the gospel down to one word, it would just be Jesus. And that's a pretty good word, too. But with the Christian Missionary Alliance, our history goes way, way back to a man by the name of A.B. Simpson. Actually, it goes way back to the man named Jesus, and even earlier than that. But A.B. Simpson, there we go. Thank you so much. A.B. Simpson talked about this fourfold gospel, and he saw four characteristics of Jesus. And we looked 2 weeks ago at how Jesus is our Savior, and that's a huge, huge thing. It's immensely important that Jesus is our Savior, and we recognize that he died and he rose again, and he died to set us free and to save us from sin and death. And that's, we in no way, shape, or form want to undermine that, but there's so much more that he wants to offer us than just being our Savior. Last week we talked about how he is our sanctifier, which is a big fancy 50-cent word that's usually only used in the church. And it means that God is holy, Jesus is holy, he's set apart, and that he wants us to be in that same category. He wants us to be like him, and that followers of Jesus are in Christ. Everything that can be said of Jesus can be said by the Father of us, though we are definitely a work in process, that Jesus, as he sanctifies us, he helps us grow and mature to become more and more like Jesus. And today we're talking about Jesus as our healer. And I wonder, and this is discussion time, what do you think about when you think of Jesus as our healer? I mean, there's probably all sorts of stuff, phrases, questions, words, images that you have of Jesus as our healer. So this is your turn. Ready, set, go. He healed you.
He
sets things right.
He restores.
He restores.
Fixes the broken.
From the inside out, okay?
Miracles.
Good word.
He overcometh.
Any other thoughts? No one's saying anything about people falling down on TV. I mean, whenever I think about healing, that's one of my first thoughts is, you know, the guy's like, bam, and then they fall down. And have any of you seen this? You know what I'm talking about? It's quite a scene. Now, I usually think about, when I think about healing, I usually think about physical healings that Jesus did. And Jesus did a lot of physical healings. I'm going to give you a crash course in case you have no idea who Jesus is, in case you've never heard a single word of the Bible. Just fasten your seatbelts because we're going to go fast. This is just a bunch of them. These are just from Matthew, okay? Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Matthew writes later, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Same author, same book. And then he adds a few chapters later, Jesus withdrew from the place, a large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. And then, a little later, When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And then the next chapter, great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. And then in chapter 19, it says, large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. And in chapter 21, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. It's like he just was healing, healing, healing. That was just a huge part of what he did. And these are, again, just, not only are they just Matthew, these are just the general mentions in Matthew. Matthew has all sorts of specific stories, specific incidents of Jesus healing specific people of certain things. To say nothing of the biographies of Mark, Luke, and John, which also record a slew of incidents about Jesus and his healing ministry. Jesus healed, that's clear to everyone. Well, except for those that don't believe in the Bible, or they don't believe in miracles, or they believe it's just all a bunch of fairy tales, although an awful lot of people died for their belief in Jesus, his miracles, his death, and his resurrection. But our topic today is Jesus is our healer. And I think most of us would say, yes, Jesus healed. Thousands of years ago, Jesus healed. But the question is, does he still heal today? That's a really fundamental question. Does he only do it on TV with wild preachers and people falling down? Why don't we go to U of M Hospital or St. Joe's and just close them down, just praying for everyone and closing down the place? And we're going to address some of these issues today. But before, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you are our healer. And as we sang, nothing is impossible with you. Nothing is impossible with you. Lord, I know my faith is challenged by that statement because my faith grows weary. I have doubts. And yet your word says some really strong and powerful things. Would you increase our faith? Would you open our eyes to the truth? And would you be our healer today? In Jesus' powerful name, amen. Well, in the beginning, we're going to go way back for a moment. In the beginning, way, way, way back. In the beginning, God created, and he said it was good. It was good. It was wonderful. There was one little glitch about the man being alone, and God fixed that, made Eve, because he said it wasn't good for man to be alone. So in the beginning, everything was good. Everything was in its place. There was no pain. There was no disease. There was this just this paradise called Eden. And then all hell broke loose. Quite literally. The serpent got Adam and Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit, and God said to Eve, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. All moms in the room said, amen. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And God said to Adam, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. Because of sin, all sorts of pain and brokenness entered the world. It was a horrific day, and it was all because of sin, the consequence of sin. It came under the influence of our enemy, Satan, who Jesus said comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he knows how to do. He can't create, he can't beautify, he can't improve anything. He just steals, kills, and destroys. And as a result, we live in a broken world with broken bodies, broken relationships, broken finances, broken souls, broken governments, broken homes, broken toilets. Well, you get the idea. Like, everything seems to break in our world. But I've got some good news. It's not always going to be like that. In fact, Revelation says that he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Amen? And if you're looking forward to that day, I can't wait. I say, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But what do we do in the meantime? How do we deal with pain and brokenness? I think we need to remember three things this morning. The first thing is that Jesus still heals, and I'm going to attempt to kind of prove that to you shortly. Jesus still heals today. First of all, Jesus is alive today. He died, but he rose again. That's what we're going to celebrate in a few weeks on Resurrection Sunday. And if he didn't rise again, then this whole thing is a big joke, and we should just go home. But Jesus still heals today. You know, on the one extreme, there are those that do not believe in healing or miracles. And many of these people are Christians. It's just not atheists that would say, well, I don't believe that Jesus heals because I don't believe in Jesus. There are Christians who would say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died and he rose again and he's up in heaven. And we have the Bible now, so we don't need the Holy Spirit. We don't need healing. We don't need power. God's basically asleep, just building some castle somewhere far away. And someday everything will get better. But in the meantime, we just have the Bible. So let's just read this, study the Bible. Because we have the Trinity is the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible. And that's it. There's no power. There's no miracles. It's all gone. That was like a New Testament thing. And now we're in this new era where we just have the Bible. And some of you think I'm kidding, but I'm dead serious. This is taught in seminaries all across the country. And I have to say, well, first of all, it makes no sense to me. I've heard their arguments, and it just makes no sense to me. Second of all, we don't believe that as a church. The CMA doesn't believe it. Third of all, I've talked to so many doctors that have declared to me they've seen things that they can't explain. They've experienced miracles. I think just about any medical doctor in this city that's practiced for any length of time would say there's just things they can't explain. They might not use the word miracle because they might be atheists themselves and they don't want to give God any credit, but there's just... They can't explain it. There's historical evidence. And then there's firsthand evidence. Experiential things. I was actually healed when I was a boy. I was about 3 years old, 2 years old, something like that. A little lady gave me some candy after church. Every kid loves candy. I love candy. I wasn't old enough for candy. Next thing you know, I can't breathe. There's blood coming out my mouth. Everyone's freaking out. I don't remember this very well, actually. I was really little. But as the story goes, I was on the verge of death. And they didn't know what to do, so they prayed. They gathered around, prayed for me. Prayed. Pops out. Here I am. Now you're like, well, that's not a miracle. That's not a healing. I mean, that was probably just maybe someone punched you accidentally, did the Heimlich or something. I don't know. I really don't remember that event. It was 30 years ago. Okay, it was more than 30 years ago, but it was a long time. But that's all to say that Jesus heals, and on one extreme there are these people that just say, Jesus doesn't heal, he's flying a kite, he's doing something else. On the other extreme, there's a really dangerous, very dangerous view that says that God heals everyone who has enough faith, and if you have enough faith, you'll be healed, and if you're sick, it's just because you have sin in your life and not enough faith. Maybe some of you have run across this. Name it, claim it. Right? It's just all about faith. You just need faith. Well, first of all, faith's a gift from God. So if you don't have enough faith, you need to go to God for more faith. But then it's still God in the first place. Second of all, there's all sorts of stories of people, even in the Bible, that didn't even have faith. You know, God comes to Jesus, hey, will you heal my daughter? Yeah, I'll heal her. Okay, go home. She's healed. Did the daughter have any faith? We don't see any evidence of the daughter. I mean, the man had faith, but it wasn't about him being healed. It was about his daughter being healed. And maybe some of you have been told, you know, if you're sick, it's your own fault, and it's because you don't have enough faith or because there's some sin in your life, which Job was accused of, and it's like, no, that's not the story at all. And then even Jesus was approached this. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus says, it's not this man, it's not his parents. It's just so that God might his works might be displayed in him. It's just an opportunity for God to get glory. That's it. Jesus, the most righteous person in history, by the way, endured the most horrific pain and suffering himself. And you say, well, that was a unique example. Sure, it was a unique example, but the point is, stuff happens to all of us. Pain and sickness is the result of sin, but it's not necessarily the result of your sin. For example, hospitals are filled with innocent victims of drunk drivers. You could be minding your own business, following Jesus, someone that was doing some sinful things, some inappropriate things, invades your life and causes you tremendous pain and suffering. We're all aware of these stories because we live in a messed up, broken world. But Jesus was a healer, and he continues to heal today. Even during his years on earth, Jesus gave authority of others to heal. He called his 12, and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. I think that's pretty cool. How would you feel if Jesus came to you and said, I give you authority to heal every disease and sickness. Go. Would you Facebook about that? But here's the thing, perhaps the most radical statement Jesus ever said, and I've read this 1,000 times probably. Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me." Now, hang on. This doesn't say the 12. Whoever believes in me. I think that applies to some of you this morning. I pray that it does. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. He doesn't stop there. Oh, what did Jesus do? Healed the blind, lame walked, all sorts of diseases were cured, and the dead were raised. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm with you? No, because I'm leaving you. This is what he's saying. He says, I'm leaving you, you're going to do greater things than me. Because of the Holy Spirit. He was going to the Father and would send the Holy Spirit. So, at the conclusion, we're going to go over to the cemetery. We're going to walk around. No, I'm just kidding. But that's what he said. He said you will do even greater things. Second thing is the healing power is from Jesus. We don't believe that there's faith healers and that people possess power. I mean, we don't believe that demons possess power and all sorts of things. But the power is from Jesus. And healing, physical healing, any kind of healing, it's from Jesus and the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit active in our lives and active in other people. And thirdly, the purpose of divine healing is to glorify Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Now, he loves us. He loves his children. He wants good things to happen to his children. But ultimately, healing is about bringing honor and glory to Jesus. Jesus' miracles authenticated the message and the messenger. He also healed to show compassion. He also healed to show salvation right now. See, the kingdom of God is now. It's here and now, but it's also not yet. We live in this weird in-between thing. We talk about this a lot when it's Advent season, that we're between the first and second comings of Jesus. And so we get a taste of what's to come, but we don't fully experience everything. It's almost like a down payment. What we have right now is a down payment on the good things. And so we see glimpses of God. We see the power of God unleashed now, but it's going to be much greater in days to come. Now, when this subject of healing came up, I immediately knew who I wanted to help me just kind of talk about this healing because someone that I deeply love has experienced healing and has some great insights in healing. And so I wonder if you could just give a really warm sigh of welcome to my daughter, Rachel. Thank you so much for being courageous to come up. Yeah, please don't fall off. So, Rachel, what's the first thing? I've not given her any of these questions. She knows nothing. Just so you know, it's totally unscripted. Okay, read right here. No, I'm totally unscripted. But I asked her if she would just kind of help share her story a little bit of healing. What do you think of anything of healing? I mean, I've been talking for a few minutes, but what's the first thing we think of Jesus, our healer? What does that mean to you?
Love.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Have you experienced healing at all in your life?
Yeah.
How have you experienced healing? Some of these people have no idea who you are.
Well, I have a nice fake leg going on here. That was the latest and greatest in my life.
So you got healed by Jesus through a fake leg?
Yeah.
Is that the whole process? Is there more to the story?
There's a lot more to the story.
Yeah.
How far back?
We only have 4.5 hours left in our sermon time today. But so can you describe any moments where you felt like you've been healed or you've experienced healing?
Yes. Should I give a little backstory?
Sure.
Okay. So I have a chronic pain disorder called RSD, and I was in remission for a while. I've had it since I was 12, but when I was 18, it came back when I was at school, and it was kind of a freak accident. I jumped into a pond and destroyed my leg, and I couldn't use my leg, and everybody expected that I would just be fine and be better in a few weeks, and a few weeks turned into 2.5 years of being on crutches, and my leg was basically dying. It felt like I was on fire every day, and I couldn't walk, couldn't move, and all my doctors told me that I would never really do anything again. I would not walk, drive, run, do anything. So.
And here you are.
And here I am.
So you're walking.
Yes.
And you started driving this week.
Yes. So. I don't have the right leg to be running, but I tried it.
That's coming next year, right? You get the running leg.
Yeah.
Okay. So some people would say, well, that's not, what does God have to do with all this? I'm an atheist. And so a surgeon just did a good thing. So this is just medicine, right?
No.
No.
Even my doctor said that it's a miracle because my doctor who performed my amputation said, I don't think that this will help your ability to walk or move, but it will help save your life because I had a life-threatening infection that ultimately resulted in the chopping of my leg. People for a long time, they prayed and they were like, oh, I'm praying for some miracle and you're just going to get up and walk. And people would like stop me at like random places and be like, I see you. I need to pray for you. You will walk right now. And I would be like, okay.
Did anyone ever say it's like your fault and you need more faith and stuff?
Oh yeah.
Or maybe some sin in your life?
Yep. They would tell me you need to really search hard, figure out what this is, what sin is causing this. And I thought hard and I was like, God, forgive me.
Cuz you were unaware of any deep secret sins in your life that caused all this immense pain.
Right.
Yeah. So what would you say to someone? I mean, you said people prayed for you and you weren't instantly healed.
Yes.
So sometimes God instantly heals, right?
Right.
And sometimes he takes a while.
Yes.
So thinking about your life now, Rachel, what if I prayed for you? I've prayed for you every day, I think, for years. And I've prayed actually for instant miraculous healing. And in fact, I'd read the Bible many times and it said, you know, the guy couldn't walk, and then I was like, I wanted to walk. Let's go. And for years, you didn't walk, and I drove you places, and you were on crutches, and so that was kind of a frustrating time for me. Was that a frustrating time for you?
It was frustrating. I think it grew increasingly frustrating with every person who was trying to pray for this miracle. And I didn't feel like the miracle would come through just randomly walking. I think after a while I kind of was like, maybe not.
So how would your life be different today versus if 2.5 years ago you had the accident, your foot was swollen and we prayed for you and you just got up and you're healed and it was good? Like, would your life be any different?
Yeah, I don't think I would have as much appreciation for the little things in life. Because I don't know, once you lose like all your abilities, new things like wearing these shoes or, I don't know, going on a walk. It's like a big deal. But I think if it was like some miraculous healing instantly, I wouldn't have had the time to really experience the depth of the darkness to be able to experience the high and the brightness of life.
And has anything happened in your life as a result of this process versus if you were just instantly healed?
I've met a lot of really cool people. And yeah, lots of opportunities have opened up.
Like what?
I'm on a council at St. Joe's, which is like my favorite place ever. Yeah, if you knew me like 2 years ago, hospitals were the last place I ever wanted to be, or even 4 months ago.
And you've even had some speaking engagements?
Yes.
What's that about?
I spoke at a conference last week with a bunch of CMOs and CNOs and cool people.
And you have a blog?
I do have a blog.
What do you post on your blog?
I post ramblings about my life. There's no like set thing. It's just kind of, this is what's happening.
But what's been the response from people about your blog?
I think people appreciate it. They appreciate my openness. I have some talk about a book in the future happening, but that might be a long time in the future.
And how can people find your blog?
MyElephantsInTheRoom.wordpress.com.
And why elephants?
Because they're my favorite, and because because I'm always kind of the elephant in the room. Like people don't want to like mention the fact that I have one leg or that my leg was grossly swollen. Although people did mention that.
But you're pretty cool with the leg now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I saw you wearing shorts the other day. That was not a very good way to hide your leg if you were trying.
No. I'm proud of my leg. This thing is like my BFF.
And I think you are its BFF too.
Yeah.
So just a last question, Rachel. Okay. There are people in this room or people listening on the podcast that need healing, and they've been praying for healing, and it hasn't happened yet. So what would you say to them? Is it just they need more faith, or what encouragement would you give to someone that is sick right now and needs healing?
I would say, well, one of the big things that I always said was, even if not, he is still good. Like, if my healing never comes, he's still good. And he's still faithful, and he can bring beauty out of the broken pieces, even if it doesn't come the way you think. Like, I never expected amputation to be my miracle, but it's the greatest.
Very good. Can we express thanks? You know, the one thing is, ultimately, all followers of Jesus are going to experience complete and total healing. So it's really not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And for 2.5 years, I wondered when, and it certainly didn't come the way that we expected it. God works in strange, really strange and mysterious ways. By far, the most provocative blog headline I've ever seen in my life was Rachel's first post, "Why I'm Grateful for My Amputation." And I had to reread that about a dozen times to figure out, is that really what it says? But God, he uses stuff, and he works in really strange and mysterious ways. But he's good, and he's faithful. I remember praying for my dad, who had Alzheimer's, and it wasn't like, "Lord, please heal him," because we knew he was going to be healed. And the question was, is he going to be healed in this life, or is he going to be healed in the next life? Because let's face it, we're all going to die. I mean, we all have an expiration date. Even Lazarus, who was rose from the dead, died again. We talk about Jesus, you know, rose, lived again, and Lazarus died again. Jesus didn't die again, fortunately, but Lazarus died twice. So when we talk about healing, and it's not just a physical thing, there's emotions that need to be healed. Some of you have deep, deep wounds, emotional wounds that need to be healed. Some of you are in relationships that are a broken mess and only God can fix. Some of you are in financial ruin at the moment and you need a healing of your finances. Whatever it happens to be, that God is a God who is still healing, and he doesn't always answer exactly when or how we want him to. But Jesus is still our healer. Now, you may say, so what? Well, I want to just share with you a few things. John 5, this is so interesting. First of all, do you want to be healed? Some of you today, do you want to be healed? That's the first question. Jesus asked the man, do you want to get well? And we think that's a stupid question, but you know what? There's all sorts of people that are broken that don't want to get well for one reason or another. You know what I'm talking about. So if you want to get well, there's a condition, right? This morning, or listening on the podcast, if you want to get well, first of all, ask. That's step one. You need to ask. James, we're looking at James today. James said, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. I'm going to say that again. You do not have because you do not ask God. So the first step is to ask. James continued, if anyone is sick, let him call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Ask. When we're done here, you are all invited to come forward. The elders are here. We're going to pray for anyone that's sick. It's not a guarantee. There's no hocus pocus. There's no video cameras or donations or people falling on the ground. But we're going to pray because the Bible says to pray for those that are sick, that request it, but you have to ask. The second thing is confess. Now, some sin is the result of some sickness is the result of our sin. I told you an example where it's the result of someone else's sin, but sometimes it could be. It could be the result of our own sin. For instance, bitterness, they've shown medically, has consequences, physical consequences. So if you're bitter at someone, you're angry, and you're not forgiving them, and you find you can't sleep, or your stomach's aching or whatever, sometimes it's because we need to fix our stuff. We need to confess our sins. James says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Because sometimes our sin is standing in the way of us and God and the healing that he wants to do. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The third thing is persevere. As a dad, I don't instantly give everything to my kids that they ask for. I don't. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I say, well, you need to wait for whatever reason. You need to wait, or you need to go through these steps first. I will give you your allowance after you earn it, right? Like there's steps and process, so persevere. Rachel's story has involved years of prayers. James says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And he later said, as you know, count as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance, and have seen what the Lord has finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, and he is, friends. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, and some of you have been praying and praying and praying and not seeing answers the way that you want to see answers, and I'm with you because I've got plenty. I have a laundry list of stuff I've been praying for a long, long time, and God has not yet answered. But we are called to persevere. In discussing prayer, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. But it's not always instantaneous. And finally, trust God. Daddy knows best. He can be trusted. His time is never late, but rarely early, as I often say. And I don't always understand. I don't understand why it took 2.5 years, except that now I'm beginning to see some really cool things. Rachel shared some things that would not have been in her life had it happened instantly. Had she just been instantly healed, she would have had a cool story to tell, but she wouldn't be asked to speak to doctors from all across the country. She wouldn't have a blog that people from all over the world are reading. She wouldn't have the platform and the influence that she's having. And it's just beginning. Daddy knows best. And to those of you that right now are just, you're just tired. You're tired of praying. I'm right there with you. I mentioned it earlier, but I pray, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Increase my faith. I want to just give up. But if you really are God and you really are our healer, I'm going to trust you that you know what's best. You know, which raises the question, why doesn't he heal everyone? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. Some think it might have been blindness and eyesight stuff. We don't. 3 times he's like, please, Lord. And God said, no. But he's healed now. The purpose of healing is always the glory of Christ. And whether in giving or withholding, it's about his glory. It's often about his timing. We live in the now, but the not yet. And if we had everything now, then, well, we wouldn't have anything to look forward to. The best is yet to come, my friends. So we do everything we can now, and we trust that God, sovereign God, is in control. I mean, Jesus said it. He said, in this world you will have trouble. But then he said, take heart, I have overcome the world. I am with you. I don't pretend to understand why he says no or later, but I know that God is good. He is faithful. And nothing is impossible with God. Will you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you that there is nothing impossible with you. That you hold the world in your hands. That you are sovereign and you are in control. And for those listening now that are hurting, that are struggling, that are broken, that are maybe just even tired of praying. I pray that you would increase our faith, and I pray that you would move in a sovereign and powerful and miraculous way. God, we love to see it when you do things. We love glimpses of the future. We love to see you display your power. And though we don't always understand why you say later, we also know that sometimes you say yes. And so we will ask. We will ask until you say yes. But I thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for being our healer. Thank you for Rachel's story and the story of so many others that have been healed, that have been touched in the past. Thank you for the reminder that healing is not just something that happened 2,000 years ago, but that happens in 2015 and will continue in 2016, 17, and 18 until you return.